Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. So we're very happy to have you guys here. And we're talking about a really cool topic today. But before we get into the topic, let's do some introductions, shall we? So right next to me is Kelly Masters from the she's the founder of Michigan Financial Wellness Network. Kelly, how are you? Good to see you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for having us.
You are welcome. And then right down diagonal from me is Beth Troost from Michigan Credit Union League. Beth, how are you? Good to see you as well.
Hi, good. Thank you. Thanks for having us.
You are welcome. And then last but not least, right below us is Mr. Blake Woods from Community Financial Credit Union. Blake, long time no see. How are you, sir?
Mike, always good to see you. Glad to be back on the show again.
Right on. Well, we're glad to have you guys here because we're talking about a really cool topic here, Smart Money Michigan Kids Read Program. And I just found out that you guys are celebrating your 10th anniversary. Is that right, Kelly?
Yes, sir. It is our 10th year doing this program.
So, Kelly, I'm going to start with you since it's April and it's Financial Literacy Month. All this stuff connects. So can you give us just a quick elevator speech on the Smart Money Michigan Kids Read Program? What's it all about?
So the Smart Money Michigan Kids Read Program is one of the flagship initiatives of the Michigan Financial Wellness Network, which is a non-solicitous financial wellness initiative across the state of Michigan that engages partners from all sectors and all walks of life to provide useful financial wellness resources and tips and education to residents across Michigan of all ages and all walks of life.
Oh, good.
So our Smart Money Michigan Kids Read program is designed for our youngest learners from 3 to 7 years old. And in our 10th year, I can tell you more about it in a moment, but it's very exciting partnership between Michigan Libraries and Michigan's credit unions to bring in a fun and exciting, interesting way, financial education to our youngest residents.
Right on. Yeah. And I'm of the mind that you can never have too much of this type of stuff. So kudos to you guys for getting it out there. And kudos to the league and the credit unions for getting involved in this as well. But back to you, Kelly. So can you share with us how the program works? I mean, I know you guys partner obviously with credit unions and the league and then libraries as well. So can you share with us how the whole thing kind of connects together and how it works and how it's a success after 10 years?
Oh, sure. So each summer, we actually start the following year's work. And that means working with a publisher, a book publisher, to identify books that make sense based on obviously topic, right? Some sort of financial literacy topic that is age appropriate for our story time attendees, those 3 to 7 year olds, that has, you know, colorful illustrations and a good storyline and good characters. So we begin the book evaluation process almost a year before the following Financial Literacy Month. And once we identify the universe of books that are possible, because of course there's also a price point to be considered, we narrow it down to just a couple of titles, and then we get those vetted by some of our youth librarian partners so that we are choosing the book that is best for them to do story times with activities and finger puppet plays and rhymes and of course the story. And so, you know, we work with, we have 400 plus public libraries across the state of Michigan, and they're all invited to participate. Mm-hmm. We choose the book. Our generous underwriting partner, which has been the Michigan Michigan Credit Union Foundation this year. And then you order the books. It takes about 20 weeks. So you have to really be on it in terms of planning, because those books need to be ordered in September for the following April.
Oh my gosh.
And then we receive a master order, and libraries can select how many copies they need, whether it's a small library that needs 8 copies or a 24 branch library system that needs, 500 copies. Mm-hmm. So we take the master order and break it down and distribute them to libraries across the state of Michigan to use in their story times throughout the month of April, which of course, as you said, is Financial Literacy Month. And there's a lot more stuff that goes on behind the scenes that I won't bore you with.
I'm sure.
but that's really the net of it. And we provide supplemental activities and work with libraries to come up with those fun additional activities and ideas to make it a really robust program for their story times.
Yeah, no, I'm sure. Yeah, there's a lot of moving parts, but the ultimate beneficiary are the kids who get this valuable information, which is such an important skill to have, these financial skills, which are such important skills to have throughout life, as we all know now. So Beth, I'm going to come to you from the league. So how did you guys get involved, and why are you involved and being the underwriter, kind of underwriting all of this? Because this is a pretty cool deal for you guys too, right?
Yeah, it is. It turned into a much bigger thing over the 10 years. It started out pretty big,
that's a good
but
thing.
It keeps growing. And our funding has increased significantly for more and more books. I mean, if we had unlimited funding, the libraries would eat it up, you know.
Oh, I bet.
But we capped it at 9,000 books this year, which is an increase from before just to libraries. But the Michigan Credit Union Foundation funds this, and it's one of several kind of statewide financial education initiatives that we sponsor or programs on behalf of Michigan Credit Unions through the foundation. So this is the largest one that we do sponsor. And it's great because credit unions can be involved all over the state. So it's very inclusive. As to credit unions of all different asset sizes can be involved, whether they have people going out, like Community Financial has a whole team that goes out and does a really good job of doing these things in the communities. But some credit unions, some smaller credit unions, don't have that many people or resources, yeah. But they can get involved in just one little thing in their community. So from a foundation standpoint, it covers all sizes of credit unions, and it covers the entire state of Michigan with this opportunity through the library partner system. So it really is a really good fit with our goals to help credit unions increase financial well-being in their communities.
Indeed. And every little bit counts, and it all adds up for sure. So, all right, Blake, thank you for being so patient over there. Appreciate it. So I want to get the credit union perspective. Obviously, Community Financial is well immersed in this. So share with us, you know, how you guys are involved and how you see it benefiting your members.
Yeah, first, Mike, I just want to say, I think I spent 90% of our last interaction doing all the talking. So it was good for me to kind of sit there and listen to, especially two incredible partners that we have on the phone, and Kelly and Beth. But for us, you know, first off, you know, education is core to what we do. Credit unions and banks, by and large, is a commoditized business, right? The products and services are generally the same across all the different options in our community. I think where we can really make a difference is interacting with educators and school systems. And so whether it's our 52 student-led credit unions or programs like the one we're talking about today, we really want to show that, you know, we're more than just an entity that wants to put their name on a banner. Yeah. You know, just as Beth was saying, we'll go to the libraries and make those connections. We'll be in the schools promoting the great work that Kelly's program has gone on. So and the other thing I always want to say is we get a lot of requests for us to help beyond you know, just teaching the budgeting class. And that's something I think we want to do even better going forward. We don't need to have that tie into financial services, because we know if this community that we all serve on the phone, Michigan, is going to have a bright future, we need to make sure our kids have those basic essentials down.
Completely.
And how can I talk to someone about a student loan? How can I talk to someone about a credit card and maybe the pros and cons of those tools if we don't have the basics of reading down? And so that's why this makes a lot of sense for us, and it'll continue to make sense moving forward.
So you're going beyond the financial services and helping folks not only, you know, with the budgeting classes and things like that, but to also, hey, you know what, let's improve the reading skills too. Is that what you're getting at, Blake? Is that
exactly?
Okay.
My CEO Tansley challenged us last year. We saw some pretty alarming stats. I wish I had them at my fingertips around literacy rates in the state of Michigan, specifically in some communities that we serve. And I'm really happy that we've got this program that helps us make a difference there. And I know that there's probably others out there as well that we'll be seeking, because again, that's a hurdle we must clear before we can then have those positive conversations around budgeting or preparing for college.
Yeah, no doubt. I have one of those stats here, thanks to the folks who provided me with some background information. Approximately 40% of students across the nation cannot read at a basic level, and struggling readers suffer socially and emotionally. And so having that burden, and then on top of that, you know, not having the financial education in the background. Yeah, that's just a double whammy for them. So yeah, we got to get on top of this for sure. And then Beth, I'm going to come back to you. So, and Blake too. So advice to other credit unions getting involved with this, because it sounds like more and more are hopping on this program, thanks to the efforts from Kelly as well for this program. So any advice, Beth, I'll let you go first. You want to?
Well, in Michigan, it's successful because of the partnerships that we have. We couldn't do this by ourselves. So the Michigan Financial Wellness Network comes in, the library system comes in, Community Financial comes in to help with the book distribution in that. So I think that would be my main advice, is to don't try to do this alone in a silo. Try to reach out to your community partners and the people who are invested in interested in helping some of these literacy and financial education areas. So one of the great things that Blake brought to mind was it's different than going to a regular library story time in the fact that the kids get the book to take home and it's theirs. They don't have to return it.
There we go. Nice job, Kelly.
To take it home, and it gives, you know, that's very inclusive in that way, that they have something that helps them with that and just gets them started talking about being comfortable talking about money.
Which starts at a very young age, right? So yeah, for sure. And Blake, from the credit union perspective, any advice based on what you guys have experienced so far?
Yes. I think, Mike, you alluded to it, but start small. Like, even if it's just one library, start there. As credit unions, we're always so proud of the way we cooperate, rightfully so. I think it's so cool that credit unions from across the country and even across different nations work together in different projects. I think that's very admirable. You'll find that library systems can be the same, right? So an individual library could be part of a bigger system. So having that single connection at your local library could lead to a larger program just through some of the connections that they have as well. So start small. Yep. And as Beth said, the demand is out there. You'll definitely find more.
Just get that ball rolling. Yeah,
that's right.
Need it for sure, for sure. And Kelly, I'm coming back to you on this one. So what's next for this program? How are you guys going to continue to evolve it? Is there like I'm thinking in the back of my brain, and you guys have probably already thought about this, but is there like an online version of this program or something like that, or a mobile app or something? I don't know. I'm just kind of thinking off the top of my head here, but what's next for this program?
Maybe all of that. I will say that having lived through the pandemic, where we did have to do things online, it is really a blessing to be back in person. During that period of our history where we were unable to do things in person, we did pivot and do some things online and do things remotely, and did, you know, grab and go kits. But the magic really happens when you have a child in your lap and a storybook they can touch, and, you know, librarians who are fantastic, or our credit union guest readers who go in with animation and fun, and then they might paint a piggy bank, and then they might sing a song, and then they might, you know, I mean, it's just, that really is where the magic happens. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not saying that we wouldn't go back to something more virtual, but it really is that human interaction with a real book with real pages that you turn with your hands and you touch it and you feel it and you interact with loving and caring adults in your life. Mm-hmm. And where to go next? Gosh, you know, if, you know, as Beth alluded to, if, you know, budget were not an issue, I could see us doing even, you know, more in more libraries, maybe beyond Financial Literacy Month, you know, more of a, you know, episodic or year round. But I'm just thrilled, like tickled pink, that every year this has grown to where we do, quote, sell out, right? I mean, we get That's to the great. Capacity of all the books that we have available. Yeah. Because libraries know what a good program this is. And, you know, a dream from 3 years ago was we were running out of titles that would work, that met all of our metrics, books that were still in print, books that we could customize, books that hit a price point, the right age, illustrations, all of those things, which is why this year we wrote our own brand new original title, Owl and Otter in the Big Yard Sale, is a brand new book that was developed with credit union input and early childhood educator input and librarian input, working with the publisher, Penguin Random House. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that was a big, like what's next is we actually wrote and published a brand new book that will be available retail in September through your favorite bookstore. so people can actually reserve a copy now, but it That's will be awesome. Available in September. So I would say what's next is if other states are interested in doing this, I'm happy to talk to them and help them out. We've learned a lot in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. Well, I bet you have.
We have been, from the very first year we did this, I can tell you we've had a lot of moments of learning and a lot of improvements where we could save people a lot of time and effort and heartache and frustration to help them ramp up if they wanted to do something in other areas. So I would say if we can continue doing the work we're doing and every year we continue to improve, you know, primarily with, you know, Beth's staff and working with our local library partner, the Novi Library, who has been fantastic. Again, another piece of the another component. They're willing to receive the many pallets of 12,000 books. and so just continuing to strengthen those relationships, improving our process, looking at what the next book might be, and touching, you know, even more children and families who get to take a book home and keep. And some families don't have a full library at home. Yep. It's really a meaningful thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you touched on it too. I think we've all rediscovered the value of face-to-face meetings and the having that tangible experience. So yeah, I'm totally there with you for sure. For sure. And yeah, I think you're going to have many more of those books that you have in your hand there, Kelly. So that I think a lot of more of that's going to happen as well as more people get involved here. So, oh my gosh, this is why I love doing this program, because I get to spread the word about programs like this. And they're just so beneficial, not only to the credit unions and the members and the communities, but to the kids who really, really need it, and they're going to grow up with this type of stuff. So yeah, we can all benefit for that for sure. So that said, anything else to add, Blake? Any final thoughts here from the credit union perspective? We'll do one last go around here.
Yeah, just quickly, just a thank you to Beth and Kelly for being such tremendous partners. And the real thanks over here goes to my community relations team. Natalie McLaughlin and others have been working for years with this program. So, well, I'm happy to talk to you always, Michael. the credit goes back to the team.
Right on. Well said, sir. Beth, any final thoughts here from the league's perspective?
Yeah, the credit unions that are out there making those partnerships, if those hadn't existed or at least started, we have increased them and we've helped other credit unions make those partnerships. But I will say one thing about the custom book. The great thing about the book is that I mentioned before, it gets children and families comfortable talking about money. Mm-hmm. But it also, because it's a custom book, it mentions credit union as a place to save your money, and it's specifically in the book. And also the book plate on the inside lets the families know that the book was donated to them on behalf of Michigan Credit Unions. And so it gets families and children also used to the idea of talking about credit unions. So that was very attractive to us, and that's something that's missing in a lot of books that you see on the shelf. So thanks for that.
I think that's the icing on the cake, is that this is all kind of a credit. The foundation here is the credit union for sure. So yeah, definitely the icing on the cake. And Kelly, I'm going to let you have the final say here.
I guess all I would say is that, you know, this is one of those initiatives that we heard about at a conference, Beth and I, 11 or 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I really want to do this, but I'm not sure how. And so I reached out to my librarian friend and reached out to Beth, and we just started. We didn't have all the answers. We didn't know all the details. We weren't sure exactly how every piece would work in the first year. Yeah, and everybody said yes. And so, you know, the first few years we just kind of plodded along and learned a lot and learned with each other and from each other and about each other. And so I would just say that you just sometimes have to start, you know, and it can be messy, and something really amazing and really fantastic can come out of it. And if everyone is willing to do a piece, then really big and powerful things are possible, you know. As Beth mentioned, it is about the partnerships and
cooperation.
Yeah. So if everybody just does a piece, you know, and I grew up, we had a general store and there was a little bowl by the cash register, the old fashioned push button, pull the lever cash register. And it was the have a penny, leave a penny, need a penny, take a penny bowl. And if you needed a penny, you could borrow a penny. If you had a penny, you'd leave your penny. These kinds of programs remind me of that. Like, everybody puts in whatever they have. Mm-hmm. You know, they have, you know, shipping infrastructure, or they have financial, or they have financial educators and boots on the ground, or they have a vision, or like, if everybody just put in the thing that they have, then you become whole.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And so I guess that's the last thing I would say is I love this program. It is a passion project of mine. I hope you can tell.
No, I can't tell at all, Kelly. The passion's not coming quite through. No, you are very passionate about this.
But I do think that, you know, you don't have to have all the answers, but if you start talking to people with a good idea and a heart for the mission and heart mm-hmm. for the service, amazing things can happen. And so I just encourage people to think out of the box, and sometimes reaching hard to reach audiences are the most rewarding programs. If you mm-hmm. can figure it out mm-hmm. and find the partners that are of like mind and have similar mission, then you can do amazing things.
Yep. Agreed. Well said. A great message to end on. Thank you so much, everybody, for coming on the show and sharing this great program. And I can't wait to get this one posted and get it out there, and hope the word spreads even more. And this could be kind of a nationwide thing. I'm sure there's other programs like this, similar, you know, kind of in pockets across the country. But man, it would be really cool to get this thing nationwide and really see it flourish. Because again, the ultimate beneficiary are the kids there. So, and they're going to learn really, really well. So, all right, guys, I'm going to let you get back to work. I know you guys have busy, busy schedule. So we appreciate your time and your expertise, and maybe checking back in down the road and see how this is going again. Maybe we'll be back for the 11th anniversary. How about that?
Sounds good.
Maybe you could come in and be a guest reader.
I would love it. I would love it. Now sign me up. I'll be on the first flight out. A quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible.